All right. So, hey, you all, welcome to Men Thrive. This is the only podcast dedicated to supporting black men, fighting for black men, showing up whole, operating in joy, and living with power. We are excited to be with you again. Myself and Kevin are just co-champions in trying to bring space for brothers to be able to just show up and talk. And with us today, some of you know him as an MC. Some of you know him as a curator of, I would like to say, I think he is a curator of exquisitely approachable culture. And he has a level of just authenticity and humility in it that is just wrapped in intentionality and excellence. And so he is the creator of a cologne. He is the curator of experiences, not just in Atlanta, but all over the country. He is a father. He is a husband. And he is a great human. And if you don't know him, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Chris Classic. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? I need to hire you to write some rhymes or something.
Your personal hype man.
Absolutely.
Listen, brother, did you like that that curation of exquisitely approachable culture?
I mean, listen, we now have to talk about copyright.
Well, what's funny is, man, I've never said it that way before, and I'm literally sitting here thinking, like, who is this brother beyond the average resume stuff? And I was like, that's exactly what it is. But it, but it's so much because no matter where you've gone all over the world, and you know, you've sat with dinners with kings, but you're never afraid of the common man, and you see yourself as the common man. Just a grown ass one. So no, man, we're so thankful, brother. We're in the early stages of this podcast and really navigating how we do this. And testing it out and having conversations with brothers. And so I'm as I thought about the cast that I admire and who I enjoy having conversations with, but who simultaneously aren't afraid of mental health and self-work. You were one of those brothers I wanted to talk to. And I wanted to talk about this whole notion of joy, permission granted. Because as I think about black men, we have been conditioned in a lot of ways. You remember Training Day, where Ethan Hawke's character was talking about, you know, even though it was his first day on the job, he understood the streets. And they were like, well, how the hell you understand the streets? He said, it's just about smiles and cries. And he said, you got to be able to control your smiles and cries. And I thought it was so simplistically profound because as men, we're constantly trying to box in our smiles and cries. And joy has become something that we almost don't give ourselves permission for, because a smile can sometimes be viewed as goofiness, or a laugh can be viewed as weakness. And the stoic kind of unmovable emotion is what we've defined as quintessential manhood. And we've denied ourselves joy. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, how do we reclaim that? How do we lift that as an aspiration for us? And so I wanted I wanted you to kind of start us off with, you know, for you, what is joy and where does it come from?
For me, joy, I've been able to find joy as a fulfillment that is based on a matter of time. And you can, you know, you can have in the moment joy, right? You can, you know, you're 50-yard line at the Super Bowl, your favorite team is playing, and you're up 20 in the fourth quarter, right? And it's just like, you know, you see this amazing touchdown, and you're joyous because you're celebrating not only the team in front of you, but you're celebrating yourself in that you chose a winning team, mm-hmm. right? And so it's this fulfillment that's momentary. You go outside to the parking lot and you realize your car has been booted and towed, and the joy
All
was
joy
just
gone.
Momentary, right? And then there's the joy that I'm sure that fathers will experience when, you know, their daughter may be getting married. And they're looking back on their experiences, realizing that she's, you know, now a complete woman outside of him. And that may bring him joy. And that is not momentary. That is a memory of a lifetime that he's reflecting on a long period of time. So I think that joy is this fulfillment that comes with a certain amount of time, whether it's long, short, instantaneous, or forever. My particular joy comes from thankfulness. That's been my little secret, which is no secret to the rest of the world, but it's been the thing that allows me to experience joy, whether it's momentary or whether it's reflecting on an experience that maybe I didn't appreciate while I was in it. On days or periods of time when things are not going the way I would like for them to go, being extremely, you know, a guerrilla level gratitude is the thing that allows me to just stop and pause and realize what I have to be thankful for. And I'm able to find joy, to squeeze joy out of there. You know, knowing that the way this world is set up, it hasn't always been easy for us, as men, particularly Black men, to experience joy and to celebrate joy for long. And, so for me, it's when I need to find it, I find something to be thankful for, and I squeeze the joy out of it. Mm.
Kev, what about you? Where does joy come from for you?
You know, I was thinking the same thing. It starts with me, for me, with gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard Jeff a couple podcasts ago. Chaka said the gratitude of putting on clean socks in the morning.
Yeah.
And drinking fresh orange juice out of the refrigerator. And so mm-hmm. I think that there are these things that we have that we accept as things that we ought to have, but in other mm-hmm. places, it's a real privilege to have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so just the joy of, you know, my coffee perked this morning and my percolator mm-hmm. worked mm-hmm. and I drank hot coffee and it was good.
Yeah.
That's me right now.
Yeah. you know, it's crazy. I have been on a quest to redefine joy for me. Mm-hmm. Because I have I like you all have been like, what is this master level of gratitude? Mm-hmm. And in that gratitude, I find joy. But I realize I don't know if that's what joy is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on this quest for how do I acknowledge joy disconnected from things?
Mm-hmm.
And so waking up is joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging the sun rising is joyful. This breath flowing through my lungs is joyful. And mm-hmm. so it's almost like, am I able to walk through life acknowledging these realities that are present, not mm. just mine.
Right.
And it's not to diminish the joy that comes from gratitude. It's mm. to how can I seek this higher level of joy that isn't connected to something being in my hands or quantifying something I got that I didn't have before, or something I may have that somebody else doesn't have. Because mm-hmm. if that becomes the highest level of joy for me, mm-hmm. then somebody else is always in control of mm-hmm. it versus mm-hmm. this acknowledgement of the sun, the breath, the ability of my mind to go places, and the fact that my family is living. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to even seek a higher relationship with joy, so that I don't unintentionally give power to somebody else for whether I have it or not.
Absolutely. You know, that's so interesting that you said that, because, you know, and for me, I remember as being a kid, one of the first things that I had to remember being raised as Jehovah's Witness was the fruits of the Spirit. There were nine mm-hmm. of them, right? And mm-hmm. It was love and joy and peace and, you know, patience, kindness. And I realized that those are like qualities. Like now, as I'm listening to you say you want to experience a joy that may be removed from a thing, right? If those are fruits of the Spirit, which is non-living or unseen or non-fleshy, mm-hmm. then it's an attitude. It's patience is a virtue. It's a characteristic. It's a quality that you have. So I think you might be onto something, because joy is the true essence of joy is as invisible as love is and emotion.
Chris, that's so good, because you the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, faithfulness. Joy is actually one of them. Mm-hmm. Goodness, kindness, self-control, patience, and gentleness.
Right.
And those are all intangibles.
Right.
But they manifest themselves in such powerful ways. I really appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, I think what's interesting, like in this time that we're in, with uncertainty and with anxiety and with as we all keep talking about not knowing when it's going to end, mm-hmm. You know, how do you all think that we encourage that? Like, I think about what D. Nice has done the last couple of nights, mm-hmm. last couple of days. And I was saying to him, like, like the 100,000 people that you had come on or over was not what impressed me. And the number right. of celebrities that came on is not what impressed me. Like, you don't even do regular parties anyway. You only do parties right. for celebrities. So right. that's your circle. It wasn't even the 9 hours that you did it. It was mm-hmm. that, like, you literally just decided without mm-hmm. permission, without charging, mm-hmm. without barrier to access, without expectation for attendance, to mm-hmm. share your light.
Right.
And so I'm wondering in this moment, man, for those who don't feel like they're D Nice. Like, how do y'all brothers think that we can be joy?
I would say pivoting, in the moment is kind of like if you think about what the historic version of what a patriarchal figure was in a household, right? And I'm not talking about the entitled patriarchal, you know, essence, but the man of the house, right? When we watched movies, whenever the bad guys were coming, everyone looked at the patriarch to be strong. And I think that in this moment, we may have to pivot away from being strong and stoic and non-emotional, and perhaps to be the source of the joy in the house. You know, for me, even with, you know, my fragrance brand, I realized that when people aren't going anywhere, they may not be wearing fragrances right now, right? And so I wanted to pivot from that and make something that would allow people to experience what I think is a pleasant scent, in a way that they could have it in their homes. So I, you know, learned how to make home spray, you know, and it's been flying off my site, you know.
In full transparency, so I have it on right now.
Gotcha.
Not the home spray, but
yeah, gotcha.
So despite the quarantine, brother, I'm sending up.
Thank you. But that's the thing. It's you do what you can. Mm-hmm. You do what you personally can to be a reflection of joy or a source of joy. This might be a fine time to, you know, dive into some of the things that your children like that you didn't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe everyone gets to a night to watch their favorite movie so that you know all of your children's favorite movies and why they like them and what's funny about it. And, you know, if you're the one who rallies everybody around to do that, something simple like that might be you being the joy center, you know, yeah, for the house.
Yeah. What I hear you saying is that we should all be asking ourselves a simple question. And that question is, what is it that I have to give?
Yeah.
And I actually asked myself that question, and what I found myself doing yesterday afternoon was calling my family members around the country. Mm. Old-fashioned phone calls.
Right.
And I grew up, I'm originally from the South, and mm-hmm, I grew up in a culture where we visited our family on Sunday afternoons.
Right.
And those who we couldn't get to, we called and checked on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fascinating in the wake of the technology, we don't even call anymore.
Yeah.
We send a text. So mm-hmm, I threw phone calls yesterday afternoon and heard voices that I had not heard in months, mm-hmm, and was able to end those calls saying, I love you.
Yeah.
And that was so powerful to me. And so it didn't cost me anything. But that's what I had to give in that moment, was extending my love.
It's interesting, like beginning to become friends, Chris. Like you have a very understated demeanor.
Right.
Like you, I would be shocked to see you go past five on the Rick. so I'm curious, man. Like
haven't played ball yet, Jeff.
But that's fair. Now I saw you in the backyard doing your old school sock and slipper lessons.
Yes, those are necessary.
Yeah, we're youngin'. Like you know when you can do the crossover in slippers and socks. That is you're not a novice. But
right.
But no, man, I think so many brothers have this love-hate relationship with being too happy.
Yeah.
Either because I think as soon as I really get happy, stuff gonna get taken, or because mm-hmm, if I'm too happy, folks are not going to see me as strong. Have you ever struggled with that, Chris? And if you have, how'd you address it?
Yeah, I would say for me, you know, being a happy person publicly has always been something that, you know, you experience cats who were not happy, right? Cats who were not smiling. Growing up in New York in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, smiling was seen as soft.
Mm-hmm.
Smiling was seen as weak. You know, there's still understated colorism that exists. So I, you know, here comes the light-skinned, curly-haired guy, and now you smiling. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, and I always found myself in environments where I was kind of the only person who looked like me, you know? So for me, it was knowing that, you know, I wasn't afraid of another breathing person, but it was just, I don't know, I found that being myself always came over as more gangster than frowning for me. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, for me personally, it was just, well, what is this cat doing here in Harlem, you know, in these projects, in a suit or a blazer, at least in shoes? How is he so comfortable?
Yeah.
Right. And I
kindness
think that
is the gangster.
Right. It put people off more than me looking like I was from a rival hood.
I wanted to ask a question. Undoubtedly, there is someone who's listening to this podcast and listening to us talk about gratitude and joy and happiness, and they're thinking to themselves, I don't have anything to be thankful or happy about. And we know that that's the case. So what is the advice that the two of you all would give to that person who's listening now, who can't find that thing to be happy or grateful for right now?
So when I spoke about the gorilla level gratitude, I would ask them to hold their breath and not breathe, and just continue to not breathe and see how they like that. And to turn their phone off, to throw their phone away, to not have internet, to not have hands, to not have feet. It's as simple as going back to the basic things. There is that you don't even realize that you have. There's this young brother who I saw on Instagram. He doesn't have, I don't know why, but I guess his body was cut off below his torso. And he is a wrestler. And I've seen him wrestle, and you know, wherever he's from, I believe it's in Texas or Cleveland, but, you know, he goes to high school, I think now college, you know, a lot of young white boys, and they don't take it easy on him. And he's a wrestling champion without legs. And all of the strength comes from above his waist. And for me, I would never complain about, you know, just thinking about as a kid, you know, complaining about going for a walk or having to walk somewhere, or, you know, you're complaining about you don't want to exercise, you don't want to go jogging, and this person has no legs and they're killing it, right? There's always something to find gratitude in, even if it's not a material thing. It doesn't matter if you're sick, it doesn't matter if, you know, you just lost a parent. There is always something that is an intangible thing that a lot of us take for granted, and that's simply breathing. It's simply being alive. It's simply having a chance to live and experience a miracle. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't like to think in terms of miracles. They don't like to think in terms of something wonderful happening to them. And it's because life hasn't shown them that. And I acknowledge that, and I can understand that. But it's a relentless pursuit of joy. It's a relentless pursuit of thankfulness. It's a relentless pursuit of the belief that something great is going to happen to me and for me and through me. And you can't let go of that. It is a constant journey, just like breathing. And I think for people who don't feel that they have much to celebrate or they have much to be thankful for, try not breathing. You know, ask them if they did not want to wake up today. And there may be some who don't, but life is this amazing ability to experience God and the universe. And if you can tap into it, you'll understand what I mean. But you really have to go back to the basics of looking at your hands and feet and thinking, what if I didn't have these?
As you said that, I stretched my hand out and looked at the front and the back of it and squeezed it tight and released it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a great question to roll out of here on. I mean, I think joy is defined as a feeling of great pleasure and or happiness. And I think that gives us so much freedom. Chris, in your point, acknowledge joy because it's a feeling of. It's not anything you have to have in your hands. It's not anything that has to be in your bank account. It's not anything that has to be in your house. It's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Mm. You ever smelled an amazing dinner coming from the kitchen?
I made one yesterday.
but I mean like really, you might still be hungry.
Yeah.
Yep.
You haven't eaten it yet. Yeah. It's not, you don't even see it. You might not even have the context to know exactly what's cooking. You just know that it smells good.
The aroma of
and there is a feeling of pleasure that comes from the anticipation of the meal to come.
Right.
And Chris, like, I heard you talking, and for me, that's what I would say to brothers, is that joy is not always the manifestation of. It is the feeling of great pleasure and happiness at what is possible. And I just want brothers to smell the meal being prepared that they don't yet have. And the fact that you got life today when it was some other brothers who didn't means that you can smell the food that you haven't yet even seen on the plate. That the fact that you have life today, there is an opportunity for you to receive something that yesterday seemed impossible. Like, so for me, I would simply say that don't allow your joy, and now you're saying, I don't have joy, I don't have happiness, I don't have gratitude, to always be a response to shit you got. Joy to me is about a response to the possibility of what you can do, what you have the power and the flexibility and the capacity and the vision and the creativity to do, to me should spark joy, because in that is the potential manifestation of something so amazing that if you didn't have the possibility, then I would say you don't have anything to be joyful about or gratitude about. But the fact that you have the mere possibility to do something, to create something that didn't before exist, is what to me joy is about. Kev, you in deep thought?
All I can say is amen. I mean, it, you know, I'll just say final that, you know, joy is also hope. You know, you were talking about the future, and it's like, you know, I can try again tomorrow. I can do more. And I'm that gives me a sense of gratitude that, like, I can get up and try again.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this show is about. And so, Chris, I'm thankful for you sharing with us, because I think for brothers who tune in and for people who love brothers who tune in, this podcast is about just that. What's the possibility? And we say all the time at Men Thrive, like, if we can help brothers show up whole, operate in joy, and live with power, like, what would the world look like if Black men were whole? And just the thought of that gives me joy, because I know what the manifestation of that will mean. And so, Chris, we appreciate not only your time, brother, but your thoughtfulness in sharing with us. We so appreciate it.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Yep.
Okay. So no, man.
I'm here. Sorry, I don't know what it was that disconnected, but I'm grateful. I'm gonna start using the term joy a lot more often. So I will say it was a joy to be with you, brothers, today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share my thoughts and to hear yours.
Well, you all, please, if you are interested, you can follow Chris at Mr. Chris Classic on IG. If you are interested in Savoir Faire, which is his scent, he's got the new Mood Mist, Soul Cafe, which is one of his scents, plus lavender. And I just don't think you go wrong with lavender in your space. Right. So please, you all, you can find all that information at Mr. Chris Classic on IG. Is there anywhere else people should follow you, brother?
That about sums it up. That's where everything is kind of flowing through.
Well, it's also flowing through iTunes, if you all are interested, because this brother makes music, and I will caveat that it is specially curated for grown-ass people who love hip-hop. That doesn't mean right. you don't like other forms of hip-hop. It just means right. that you have a sophisticated ear
right.
that is interested in messages of personal growth that are hot.
You value enunciation.
That is it. You all, this is Men Thrive, where we are challenging the narrative that black men should grind to survive versus build to thrive. We are fighting for black men to show up whole, operate in joy, and live with power. We love you all, but really hope that you love yourselves and each other. We'll talk to you soon. Peace. Yo, thanks for listening to Men Thrive. Did you like us? If you like us, visit your go-to podcast provider and check out other episodes. You can also go deeper by joining our community at menthrive.com.